Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor, we welcome in Eric Meehan. Hello there, Eric.
Hello, how's it going?
I'm wonderful. How are you today?
I'm just enjoying the tune behind us.
Yeah.
I know who I'm voting for now.
Yes, that's nice.
Fun. Listening to your conversation earlier, I'm feeling no better or worse about our school district and figuring that out. So I'm going through what a lot of parents and guardians are going through right now. That's a tough one. But, you know, otherwise, things are good here.
And you alluded to it, but the news has broken here in the last 15, 20 minutes since we've been on that Joe Biden's choice for running mate will be California Senator Kamala Harris.
I actually meant Oscar the Grouch. I'm Grouch. But that's true, too. No, that's fun. That's good. I like her. Funky.
I do, too.
Good. So,
But someone pointed out, look, if he picked Mike Pence as his running mate, I'd still vote for him.
I know. Well, the first thing I saw, one of my friends posted, Trump terrified to be alone on debate stage with woman. So, did I say Trump, Pence, whatever I meant. You know what I meant.
I know what you mean.
Dear God. Anyway, so these are the times we're living in. But my wife also has taken the kids blissfully during my segment here to the splash pad. So they're going to return, hopefully COVID-free, but doused. So, yeah, so I hope everybody out there is doing well. We're traveling through Italy, which right now might be preferable since they've been far more effective at containing this thing than we have. And actually, we're going to be talking about a spot that a lot of Americans kind of know and know well. And, of course, the song that I was referencing playing behind Rich and I, the betting was a tune about Tuscany. We won't go into what about Tuscany, but you can look it up for yourself. It's by the band Gogol Bordello. You can figure out what the song is about if you have the inclination. So we're going to delve into sort of central Italy and talk about I always sort of subtitle this one Montepulciano versus Montepulciano, but this is basically the region of Italy that, and it's a big, big, varied region, but that Americans know best. The wines were imported and heavily marketed to Americans from sort of very early on in our fascination with wine, which doesn't go back that far, but. We'll get into it this way. So first of all, the king grape in central Italy, right? And the region we're sort of talking about is certainly Tuscany, but Emilia Romagna, the Marche, which essentially sort of mirrors Tuscany, on the other side of the Apennine Mountains, Umbria, which is, inland, the only, part of Italy that doesn't really have coastline, but is sort of inland from both the Marche and Tuscany. And in these regions, like I said, Sangiovese is really the king grape. And, of course, everybody's heard of Sangiovese. Originally means the blood of Jove, right? So Jove or Jupiter was known as Zeus. But basically, the king grape was also the blood of the king of the gods. So obviously, long history, you know, a very storied. It's thought to actually date to the Etruscans, so this is about 750 BC. Though the first documented reference to Sangiovese was in 1590 in Tuscany. As I mentioned the Apennine Mountains, right? So the Apennine Mountains basically divide Italy north and south, up and down. But this grape is found, whereas other grapes are not, this grape is found equally on both sides of it in the belt that can grow it well, which is the sort of central Italian belt, which is very, very intriguing. It shows that it's sort of meant enough to people to actually bring and propagate elsewhere, which, as I said, anybody, again, who knows Italian viticulture that's very rare. Most grapes kind of stay local-esque, but certainly Sangiovese did not. Well, Tuscanese is probably the most famed versions of them. There's at least 14 clones that exist. And of course, grapes mutate so easily that basically every valley and nook and cranny has its own sort of peculiar little clonal variety. But 14 chief clonal varieties exist of it, one of which our wine of the week is made out of, right? Prugnolo Gentile from the city of Montepulciano, and we'll get into that in a second. Sangiovese, very high acidity. It's one of those grapes that I'm always sort of amused that Americans tend to like so much, because that acidity in coarser versions is really very off-putting. But the reason that I point out to Americans that they like Sangiovese so much, or at least they think they do, is that the Chianti Classico region that's like the one. That's what everybody really knows. The reason they know that is because the famed city of Florence sits at the north end of it, and the slightly less famed but still very famous tourist city of Siena sits at the very southern end of it. And between it, that is where all the American tourists take buses and stop at vineyards and stuff like that. So a lot of Americans are much more familiar with Chianti for no other reason, essentially, than agritourism. But for them, it's good wine, don't get me wrong, but like we're at Pivot here in a second, which is the grape Montepulciano, a lot of crummier versions of it got shipped here, and people just bought it because it was Chianti. Yeah, good. but that said, it should be noted, Chianti is divided into several micro-regions, Chianti Classico being the heart of it, but Chianti Colestanese, Rufina, these are other names that Americans are probably very familiar with, and they're all producing usually quite good wines, and when they don't, you know, that's sort of why you go to a good wine merchant. And as I was saying, other places that produce Sangiovese, Emilia-Romagna, which is sort of the unofficial home of it, but they're more famous for their frothy red called Lambrusco. As I said, the Marche and Umbria. But the other thing that I was going to jump to with my very limited time is that the city of Montepulciano, and this is a very, very common misconception, is in Tuscany, and it grows a clonal variety of Sangiovese. The grape Montepulciano is from further south in the region around Abruzzo on the other side of Italy. Has nothing to do. They don't do Sangiovese. Montepulciano does Sangiovese. Abruzzo does Montepulciano. It's very confusing. I don't know why they did that to us. But it just so happens that those are also like the two most popular wines in America. So it's a very common misconception that if you've been to the city of Montepulciano, you had the grape Montepulciano. You didn't, and vice versa. Carrie, quick time check, sir.
4 minutes, he say. 4 minutes.
Oh, okay, well, we have time then. Very good. let me continue a little bit more with southern. The other sort of central Italian region that I haven't touched because it's a little different is Lazio. Now, Lazio is the other place that's very familiar to American tourists. Why? Because Lazio is where Rome is. So now we've gone from Florence to Rome. And in Lazio, the main grape is called Cesenese. They also grow grapes that you do find in Tuscany, but they're white grapes, so Trebbiano and Malvasia. But Lazio is the other sort of distinctive, but they're culinary traditions and their viticulture traditions are quite different and really have nothing to do with the rest of that sort of central Italian Sangiovese belt, which is just kind of, again, this is where you start to understand that up and down the Italian coast and all, like in every wine region, there's very, very distinctive differences. So while the Sangiovese grape plays into all the, like I said, Emilia-Romagna is not known particularly for their wine. They're known for their cheese. and like I said, Lambrusco. Tuscany, known for sensuality, but also growing Vernaccia. Vernaccia di San Gimignano is very, very popular. That's not really found in a lot of other places. In the Marche, well, you have Sangiovese. You also have the grape Montepulciano. So that's where Montepulciano was brought up from the south. Sangiovese was brought over the Apennines. And in the Marche, you have blends of the two, which is actually quite delightful, but sort of, you know, every wine merchant's worst nightmare when you have to explain it. And they grow the white grape Verdicchio, right? So different grapes with the Sangiovese tying everything together. And in Umbria, their other main red grape is Sagrantino, which is a very sort of brooding, deep, wonderful thing. But Umbria, not particularly known for their wine, really known, for the Spoleto Opera Festival, which I was actually privileged enough to be part of when I was younger and more beautiful. It's true, I was younger.
that I believe.
Yeah. So just to finish up here, I wanted to mention one of the other musical options that I guess we didn't go with was Dora the Explorer theme. Our wine of the week, we have about a case and a half left, is made, it's made of, as I mentioned, one of the clonal varieties of Sangiovese called Prugnolo Gentile. And it is found in the city of Montepulciano. The wine is a Rosso di Montepulciano, made by Dora Forsoni, who is this absolutely 70-year-old woman. She's made this wine her entire life and was taught to do so by her dad. And she's had some health problems and stuff like that, so it's tough to get the wine. But for a really excellent experience as to what I've sort of been babbling on about today, I enjoyed a bottle of it last night with my wife, and it really shows you the depth of character that is capable of being achieved in this part of the world. And it's absolutely fantastic. And it's our wine of the week, so it's 10% off. I did also want to mention, because people have been asking, people are apparently watching the wine videos that I make, which is really fantastic. So if you folks want to watch the videos and stuff like that, they all come attached with my newsletter, which goes out every Monday. And so if you want to get in on that newsletter, you can sign up on our webpage, or you can certainly send me an email at bangorwine@gmail.com and just give me your email address and I'll put you on. I want people to know how to get those, because I don't know. I guess people are glutton for punishment. They want to see my ugly mug every Monday. So that's how to do that. And I guess I will see you all next week. We'll talk about more of Italy.
Fantastic. Yeah, you can't get enough, Eric Meehan. Check him out online on the Facebook page as well. Subscribe to the newsletter. Eric, thanks. Have a great week. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.